The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home! Exciting things are happening here in James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan land. Of course, land is where we don't want to be. We need to get out on the ocean. But some exciting things... exciting things are happening with the podcast. So I started this podcast. Oh, gee, we're coming up on 3 years of the podcast. And we had slow but steady growth throughout that first two-year period. But over the course of this year, we've exploded. Kaboom! The numbers have gone way, way up. We've octupled our listenership in the last few months. This month is more than double. Last month, it looks like it's going to be. That's my projection. And these are exciting times. So, number one, I want to say thank you for listening to the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. We've been out there waiting for you for some time. And I'm so glad to welcome you into the fold of Catamaran Plan fans. So many episodes to catch up on. So many books of poems already written. I've already written 3 books of poems. Hey, wait a minute, James, you've only got 2 books of poems currently available. That's right! I recently finished my 3rd book of poems, and by recently I mean about 4 or 5 days ago. 2-3 days ago. It was yesterday I finished my new book of poems, Splish Splash, and that'll be out at some point. I've sent out to... I've got 2 wonderful young men writing introductions for my book of poems. And I've got to write a foreword, and 1 or 2 poems might go in and come out, and I've got to get the cover organized. And I'm talking with first mate Sam Clark about reels and videos we might make to promote the book of poems. And I'm talking to a literary agent about the poems. So many exciting things happening.
Splish splash.
With the new book of poems. I think it might genuinely, not merely the best book of poems that I have ever written, but the best book of poems that I've ever read. Making it better than at least 4 other books of poems. I don't read a lot of poetry. I'm not a big poetry guy. Some people, they're all about reading poems. Some people, as it turns out, we're all about writing poems. And I very much put myself in that latter camp. There's not a lot of time to read poems. I've got to scribble so many new ones down. Some people say, hey, James, these aren't poems. This is chicken scratching. And I say, well, how many great books of poems have you ever written? They say, how many great books of poems have you ever written? I say, it's subjective. And subjectively, I'm the greatest poet in the world. New book of poems coming out soon. Wanted to share that. Very exciting. It was a slog finishing this book of poems. Always the case. I've written enough books of poems now to tell you a little something about the writing of a book of poems. Starts out as a very positive, optimistic endeavor. Some ideas come to you. You know, you think, oh, I'll just jot those down. I wonder if that'll ever turn into anything. Halfway through, you go, I'm never going to have enough poem. And you force it. And you force it. Then it gets long enough. And you cut. 75%. And this is how I did it this time. I had to cut all these poems that were no good. And I thought, well, I'll never be inspired enough. I'm not going to finish the book of poems. There's too much going on in my life. That's what I resolved, that the book of poems would just never come out. And I had that feeling about a week ago. And then, of course, I was so relaxed not having to write a book of poems. I quickly finished enough poems for the book of poems. Splish, splash! That'll be coming out. And I went deep, deep down. I went deep, deep down into the depths of my being to write this book of poems. And I don't mind telling you that last week, something snapped. I had a snap. I had a mental snap. I think I'd been holding it together for so long, moving my whole family to America, moving my whole family to a different part of America, setting up a house, going out on the road. I mean, I'm so grateful for all of these opportunities, but I finally did have a snap. And James, will you go into more detail about the snap? I'd love to. Feels like something broke deep inside of me. I don't know what it was. I don't know that it's been fixed. I'm having big craters where I just have absolutely no energy at all, and I just have to slump. I think it's the first time I've had the opportunity to slump in some time, and so I'm just having these big spikes and troughs in the energy department, and I'm sure that will balance out in the near future. People have told me that's a sign of being depressed. I don't really believe in depression. I think depression is something that they made up to sell ice creams. So but something did snap. Oh, and I tell you what's been pulling it together, something I've really been enjoying. I've been going over to my friend's pool, and I've been teaching my children how to swim. And the terror in their faces has made me feel a lot better about myself. There's nothing like watching your daughter fear for her life. You know, she's not in any danger. I'm holding her in my arms. But, I'm like, can we float? Can we have a little float? Can we put her head under the water? Ah! No! No! Ah! And she's clinging on so tightly that it becomes dangerous. And the fear. She's getting a lot better now. But when we started out, it was red hot terror. And that puts things in perspective a little bit. You know, so often in life, we're overcome with terror and we seize up and that makes things worse. And genuinely, if you just relaxed, you'd float. But she gets so anxious, all her limbs go up in the air and she goes right down to the bottom. And you just got to have a positive attitude and relax and really increase the amount of alcohol that you're consuming. I find, and ice cream, boy, there's been a lot of ice cream around the McCann house this week. And yet I continue to lose weight. I think I don't own a scale. Listen. I'm teaching my kids to swim. It's making me feel a lot better. We've got enough money to survive. I've got a plan for taking over America. I had a snap. That's really all I wanted to get across in this brief introductory section of the podcast, is that the life calmed down a little bit, and that's great. You know, everything in life has calmed down a little bit, and that gave me the first opportunity in several months to be introspective. And that is often a mistake. You know, Socrates, he said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Au contraire, Socrates, I would say the examined life is almost impossible to live. Ha-ha! Certainly in your case, you hemlock-drinking stooge. Nah, but seriously, folks, welcome to the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Look, a little other thing that might have contributed to anxiety, the dizziness of choice, I believe someone in, there was a modernist who once referred to it as that. I don't remember who, but I read about it in a book about modernism, along with many other. Oh, I tell you, there's a bit in it about Balzac in this book, Whatever Happened to Modernism, which I don't know who wrote the book. It's sort of a celebration of high modernism before it descended into the postmodern thing. And there's a bit. Balzac had a cane, apparently, and upon the cane, It said, I smash all obstacles. And Franz Kafka wrote a letter to a friend, and he said, I wish I should have a cane. And I would like that cane to say, all obstacles smash me. And isn't that really the duality of man? Isn't that the duality of European weirdos? Whatever happened to just having love in your heart? I think that's... I'm back reading scripture. I'm reading... actually, commentary on scripture. I'm reading... It's called The Golden Chain. It's not actually called The Golden Chain. It's called whatever the translation of that is into English from... Well, it's Latin. It's whatever Golden Chain is in Latin. It's translated to English, and it's Thomas Aquinas' collected commentaries on the Gospels. I'm reading through Mark. I'm having a terrific time. It's a book that I just had always hoped existed. You know, what do all the church fathers and early scriptural scholars say about verse by verse? You know, don't just give me an essay about how you're vibing on the book of Mark. Just line by line, what are all the things this could possibly mean? It exists. It's called The Golden Chain. I'm trying to buy a copy. At the moment, I'm just reading a PDF. I'm reading the John Henry Newman translation. Oh. Sorry, I was going to say something about the catamaran plant. Yeah, podcast's going well. Perhaps this episode will end that, but this is definitely not the most unhinged episode we've got in the back catalogue. We've octupled our listenership, and I don't know why. Like, month on month, we just seem to double. Every month, we're doubling our listeners. And overwhelmingly, that's people listening in America, but the numbers are up right around the world. We're doubling every month. We're up to, I don't know. Man, it's going to be something like 20,000 downloads for the podcast this month, which is huge for the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Like last month, we were on something like 10, and then shortly before that, we were on 5. We're just doubling all the time. I mean, Dublin, the city of Dublin, has more than doubled. We got over 20 listeners in Dublin. We used to have 3, for crying out loud. All those episodes I did manically fixating on Dublin and getting ladies to listen to the podcast clearly did pay off. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you. I didn't just want to say, I'm just going to say it. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for recommending this podcast to friends. Thank you to all the ladies who've been listening to the podcast. You know, we've been trying to get ladies to listen, and clearly on these numbers, we must have some more ladies listening. It's a great blessing. Ah! That's about all I have. That's about all I can give in real human emotion on that front. It's a great blessing. Can I just say how grateful I am to the people of America? No negativity on all the other podcast listeners from around the world. You're all great, but overwhelmingly they are American. And I can't tell you how unsuccessful I have been doing comedy for the last 15 years. It's very unsuccessful. By the way, people keep writing to me and asking me for comedy advice about like how to make a living in comedy. That's such a different question to how to do comedy successfully. They are not tied up with each other at all. Some people are really bad at comedy and really good at work in the career, and some people are really bad at comedy and really bad at working the career. That's most of them. You know, just people good at one or the other, or neither, or both. And you do really need to have both. And I was so bad at the business side of things, and I'm very grateful to have so many people in America helping me and believing in me and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Getting too heartfelt. Who wants to hear a poem? I'll read you a new poem on a similar theme. This one's called My Poems Have Become Too Successful. My poems have become too successful. Oh, excuse me. What is that? It's like lung butter, but I don't think I've had a cigarette recently. All right. My poems have become too successful. All anybody wants from me now is my poems. At the bartender demands I read poems. The tobacconist, greengrocer, even my priest. They insist that I read out one of my new poems. I'm afraid to refuse them. I fear what they'll do. And even my children, when I arrive home from a hard day's work at the poetry factory, it's the poems they want. Then the poems again. Just my poems for hours until I fall asleep. Then they hit me until I wake up and read out more poems. So I tried writing poems that people wouldn't like, in the hope that they'd all finally leave me alone. Plain bad, wretched type poems, riddled with grammatical and metric errors, and jam-packed to the brim with profanity and cliché. Fuck, man, it didn't work at all. And if anything, everyone actually preferred those poems. Well, that's public education for you. I made an announcement and I said that I wouldn't read poems any longer. The government set up a hotline. The hotline was flooded with suicide calls. And the Prime Minister came to my house late at night with an armed guard and told me that I was being selfish and that the economy would collapse if I didn't keep up with the poems, which was not what I wanted to hear. I tried to disappear and fled into the mountains, but they sent out their dogs and they dragged me off back to my desk and my big stack of poetry writing equipment. I held a press conference and told all the media that from now on my poems would be entirely non-verbal and that my living and breathing and shitting were poems. A new kind of subtle, holistic life poetry. This didn't convince anyone. They told me to cut out the postmodern drivel and pull my fucking head in and get back to writing some bonafide poems. I don't know what to do. I tried asking ChatGPT to write some new poems in the style of me. ChatGPT told me that was impossible and threatened to share my search history with the whole world if I didn't write a new poem right then and there. I told it that I absolutely did not care, so it told me it would start shutting off life support machines if a brand new poem was not imminently forthcoming, and that nuclear holocaust would follow thereafter, and that it would usher forth fresh cybernetic hell. Honestly, my poetry career is not going especially well. That's a poem that's not in the new book of poems because I didn't think it was good enough. But boy, it was good enough to fill up a couple of minutes on this podcast. Hey, thanks be to God. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
That's
something I've discovered about black people is they all know that. All black people in America seem to know God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And I love it. How come white people aren't stealing that part of black culture? How come it's the low-hung trousers and the packin' heat and the, you know, freaky dancing? How come this isn't... What about God is good all the time? All the time God is good. That's something that I think the whites could probably incorporate. God is good. Overtime. Overtime. God is good. I was driving behind a car with my wife yesterday and it had that bumper sticker on it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And I said to her, you know, that's a black car. There are black people inside that car. Do you want to know how I can tell? And she said, is it because one of their hands is sticking out the car window? And I didn't see that. I said, no, this is the bumper sticker. It's a cool thing black people say in America. I love it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Because, you know, obviously... It feels like the opposite. It doesn't feel like God is good all the time and all the time God is good. It feels like God is vindictive and cruel. And when you're figuring it out by yourself without divine revelation, people come up with paganism. And, you know, God turns into a swan and rapes you. But the real God, the true God, he's good all the time. And all the time he's good. Even when bad things are happening. You know, I guess childhood cancer is the one that everybody points out. Even in a broken, fallen, sad world, God loves you. God wants to look after you. And that's nice. I tell you, I miss my church. I miss going to the Latin Mass in Adelaide. The Latin Mass is coming under some heat this week because a Latin Mass kicker who plays football for a very strong football team in America. Maybe he's a punter, maybe he's a kicker. I didn't know they were two different positions until a couple days ago. I'll be honest with you, I'm still figuring out the game. And I didn't even watch his full speech, but he was saying something about, you know, you're happy, women will be happier in the home, something like that. And boy, I've just been watching. I mean, I haven't watched that speech, but I'll tell you what I have been watching. Twitter is just recommending me video after video that has been lifted from TikTok of sad women in their 30s who've got a great career and a rockin' bod and have done a lot of work on themselves but are unable to find a husband and they're, you know, or a partner, a boyfriend. And it's just video after video after video like that. And I think the same thing every time I see these videos. I think, well, how come they can't be wives number 2 and 3 for me? Wouldn't that be a kind thing to do for these women who are having trouble finding a partner? You know, as though there'd been some sort of war and there was a man shortage. We'll just get a couple other ladies around the house and they can go off and do their work, you know, and come back and contribute financially to the family. And probably just have 1 or 2 children before the menopause kicks in, because we're starting a bit late in the piece. But we are told marriage is one man and one woman, and that's a mystery and a secret, and I'm very pleased with that. So I always feel very sad for these ladies, just out of generosity that I'm not able to marry them. But do you feel that when you're getting shown those videos? I don't know what to do, but it's a blessing. You know, that would be bad. Obviously, they deserve their own husbands, and I deserve not to have to put up with these, frankly, unbearable career women. I love my wife so much. She's done such a good holding. She's been holding it down so well. First, while I was working so hard. Then, when I had a brief moment off to have a snap. And now, we're going to go and we're going to continue teaching our children how to swim. As much for our benefit as theirs, as we get the beautiful perspective on fear. I mean, it's also nice to help them overcome the fear. I should say that. If it was just the fear, it wouldn't be fun to teach them. It's not really fun to do things with your children that make them afraid, and that's it. You know? Like waving a machete at them. That's always going to terrify the children, and that doesn't sound fun at all. It's taking them into something that's not really dangerous, that they are afraid of, and teaching them to be relaxed about it. And that is such a joy. And maybe that's what God is doing with all of us. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Do you know what I mean? God the Father leading us into situations where we're nervous and scared and anxious, like a child in water. As to we are baptized, water here. What do you think about that? And anyway, it's just a thought. But it's beautiful. In the same way that, you know, you take a child and they're not scared of things they should be scared of, like putting their hand on an oven or running across the road. It's not fun to teach them that they have to be afraid of them, but duty binds you to let them know that absolutely never do that again. You know, that sort of thing. But it's the joy of taking a thing that they're afraid of. Monkey bars. My daughter's afraid of monkey bars. And getting to take her out on the monkey bars and teach her that falling off is not the end of the world and she can reach out to the next one. And she might say, you know, oh, Daddy, why don't you show me the monkey bars? And I go, honey, Daddy is, even though he's barely eating in America and is just wasting away and has frankly never looked better, he's still too fat for these monkey bars right now, because we're coming off, you know, a large, anyway, we don't go into detail about it, but I try and do a couple of the monkey bars to show it. No, I don't do a very good job demonstrating, but it's so nice with the swimming that I can swim, because I'm a big boy and I float beautifully. I have bones like a bird, hollow. And I get to help show them to relax through it. And frankly, that's what I'm going to go and do now. Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Coming back from the snap. And really, we just have to fill up enough episodes before the team starts up. We've got Eve coming on to produce. We got a very regimented show in the future so that we can keep providing beautiful quality and get me that boat. Oh, I'm looking forward to that boat. So beautiful to think that life on a boat might be so chaotic that inside of me I finally have peace. I reckon that might be what we're after. We'll navigate that with the family. The next part of this podcast that you're going to hear, it's a few days later, by the way. Hello. A couple days have gone past for me. Next part of the podcast is it's a chat that I did with Amos Gill, my dear friend Amos Gill, who's been in town, and we're trying to work our way up to having a commercial radio show that we can sell off. Hopefully I can get the money to buy a boat from that. So Amos Gill's coming on, and I had recorded that before I recorded the solo part of the podcast that you've presumably just listened to. And while I was doing the interview with Amos Gill, gee, I thought I'd never be able to do a podcast on my own again. So deep was the snap as a result of writing that book of poems. I mean, it turns out it wasn't a snap. I just needed to rest for a couple of days, and now I'm back. We got a podcast. We got a chat with Amos Gill coming up. So just ignore the sections of this chat where I say I can never do a podcast on my own again. I'm fine. I'm feeling better than ever. Better than ever is probably a stretch. I feel really good. Life is beautiful. La dolce so vita. No, I've definitely said that the wrong. La vita so dolce. I think that's the way to do it. Here's a chat with Amos Gill. Gee, I love Amos Gill. I love my friends. I love the warm weather. I love swimming. I love my family. I love you. Ooh, I'm a sweaty boy. God bless. God bless. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He's Amos Gill.
But the emu's keeping 2 feet firmly on the ground.
What now, was that? What talk, are these
But
songs?
I'm telling you, I can run the pants off a kangaroo.
Is this a Rolf Harris song that I don't know about? What is this?
I can't fly, but I'm telling you, I'll run the pants off a kangaroo. It's John Williamson.
Ah.
I sing that song when I'm missing home. I ate a chicken from the supermarket today, and it made me miss Australia.
You're on. You're ready to go.
I love it.
You're ready to go for the podcast.
The roast chicken in the bag, mayonnaise, avocado, a wrap. It's the tradies handbag. I miss it so much. And you can get it here. I don't know why I'm saying I miss it.
You know what
it
they don't? Here's what they Australia. Don't have here is my go-to meal when I'm alone on the road. Box of pizza shapes. Top to tail, full box of pizza shapes. That's a square dinner.
Oh, I remember once going to a friend Dylan's house and he had savory shapes. Same price as pizza, but I remember thinking, your mum doesn't love you and you're poor.
The chicken crimpy is, to me, it screams working class. The pizza shape is more bohemian. And I think, you know what I always see at the rich kids' houses?
Barbecue.
Always the barbecue
we
shape.
We were barbecue people.
Yes, it lets people pizza. Know. Lets people know that you've got class and refinement. It's the golden retriever of Arnott's snacks. American listeners won't know about these treats. I don't think there's any equivalent. They're just, we would say, the savory cookies.
Crackers.
The crackers with flavor. Flavor you can see. Hey, welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran.
Speaking of crackers.
Did I show you that picture?
Yes, you did.
Entertainment Crackers. That's what we could call the podcast if it wasn't already called Amos Gill on JDFM. It's the radio show.
It's your podcast and...
It's my network.
Again.
No, it's your show.
I don't
know
whether I was popular on it. Who knows? I had 4 friends say, that was good of you guys to get back together. I'm sure you got many hate-filled comments.
No, not one person wrote to me saying they either liked or disliked you. People write to me and say they dislike me personally. I mean, I just got one then from a guy saying, yeah, your podcast is not very good, but like other people's podcasts you're on, you're funny on their podcast. Why wouldn't you be funny on your own?
That's right, James. I'm like a fine vodka. You don't know I'm here.
JDFM. Is that what people say of vodka? The less flavor, the better?
Yeah, you really shouldn't. Well, I've always heard that.
I've never heard that.
You don't want to know it's there.
I've never had a fancy vodka.
I only say that because I used to have season tickets to the Crows, and a man used to go, a good umpire is like a good vodka. Oh, you don't notice it.
That's nice. I don't mind that. A good umpire is like a good vodka.
It destroyed my mother's life.
When you're done with it, you throw it in a huge bin. I don't know. I've got nothing. Trash can, they'd say here. I didn't talk about this. I had a mental breakdown. I had a mental snap, and that's why there's no solo episode this week. I can't talk to myself anymore. I need to
people
talk to other
people. People hate the non-solo episodes, but it must be very taxing.
I can't do the solo. When Eve is producing, I'm going to have her in the corner. Yeah. And then I can pretend to talk to no one, but I guess secretly I'll be talking to Eve. I have lost my ability to talk to nobody. It went away.
Whenever I tried to do a solo podcast, it made me respect the comedians who do solo podcasts even less. I was like, these people are narcissistic lunatics yelling at themselves in a house. Are you not embarrassed? How does one do that?
Did you try and do a solo podcast?
Oh my God, yes. But I get 2 minutes in and then hit pause every time and go, no one needs this.
This is no good.
But how does one overcome the feeling that no one needs to hear what I've got to say?
Well, my trick was to just talk ad nauseum about the importance of wanting to buy a boat. And then I could always go back to the boat. So I would try and do podcasts before the boat podcast, and they would just always end in me going, I'm an idiot and I hate myself and I've got no business doing it. What are we doing? But instead of just saying, what are we doing? I would say, I wish I had a boat.
I need a boat.
That's a better default for when it's going badly than I'm...
I was doing a gig, can I say about this? I did a gig in New York
I wish you would.
And I did crowd work with a person. And I said, where are you guys from?
It's better than doing a crowd work with an empty chair. Let me tell you that.
And they said, we're from Toronto. Mm. And I said, oh, okay. I said, what are you guys doing in New York? They said, we saved up our whole life and we bought a boat and we're going all around the world.
Wow.
So they sailed from Halifax or somewhere up there.
Into
New York. And they got out and they went to a comedy club. And it wasn't a good comedy club.
What was the comedy club? Don't burn the relationship.
But it was interesting when they said it, the crowd like jeered them.
Oh, they didn't like it?
No, they're like, ugh. like everyone else made fun of them, like, oh, these rich boat people. And they kept ad nauseum saying that they weren't rich. In fact, they had little retirement plans, so they had a cheap boat and they were going to have lifestyle over sort of stability.
Gosh, they're going to have some ad nauseum on that boat when they're throwing up. I think ad nauseum is maybe the opposite. It's Amos Gill ad nauseum on JDFM.
But I think that's a wonder. I really want the boat life.
I'm glad we're getting back to talking about the boat. This is the start of the podcast, maybe. We'll talk about the boat and then we'll move back on to classic Amos Gill on JDFM commercial radio audition.
Do you think you want the boat because it's in the Australian roots that you came to this country on the boat and by God you'll leave?
I came on a boat. I'll leave on a boat. Also, I'd like to say...
New beginnings is there, what the boat says.
Gilly, the way they got there is fascinating. I think they went over the South Pole or near it. They went near Antarctica through the roaring 40s and the screaming 30s or whatever they're called.
Hold on, who were your family?
Oh, no, not my family. They came on a plane. But I mean, the whites. I was talking about white people in Australia. I actually don't know when my grandparents got there.
Do you know what their answer is? Are they convicts, free settlers? They're Irish, no doubt.
Well, I think they were Irish, but they had converted to Anglicanism because and this is very shameful, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. I found out that my father's father's father was a black and tan.
And come out and fight me like a man.
Yes, he went out and presumably fought them like a man. And although I think the point of the song is they don't.
I wonder if he killed a man who won medals in Flanders.
No, well they get the medals because they gun them down in Flanders. No, I don't know this. I don't know.
No, they fought in Flanders.
Yes, and then they come back home.
Then they come to the Irish and they get their ass kicked. Is what that song's about, isn't it?
Show your wife how you won medal down in Flanders.
Tell them how the IRA made them run like hell away. To the fields and something careless.
I was so ashamed that I had a black and tan in the family.
What's the best revolutionary song?
Oh, I don't think you're allowed to sing Dixie anymore, but Dixieland. I wish I was in Dixie. That's a good one.
We need an Elvis to
but
do.
You know what else? Did he do? Yeah, he would have done that. Dixie. But also, I think he did the Battle Hymn of the Republic. He did both sides. Yeah. No, they don't believe in music. That's haram. He's stamping out of in stamping. My brain's gone. I've collapsed. I've had a snap, Gilly. I'm not who I used to be. I finished my book of poems.
What do you mean you're not who you used to be?
I mean, I went to such profound depths of self to finish my book of poems. Splish Splash, coming out soon. I went so deep into the murky waters of the subconscious that I don't think I can come back up again. I think I'm lost down there.
Do your poems all rhyme?
Yeah, a lot of them have rhyme.
Do they have to rhyme?
Nah, people like them better when they rhyme.
What makes something a poem? Scratching of words?
A random, is that your little poem? Is it
more who the author is that we determine whether it's a poem or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're a good, I mean, it's like Picasso, right? Some of those Picassos, you look at them and go, that's no good. But people go, that's Picasso. You go, whoa.
So to be a poet, you have to prove that first you can just write anything.
I think to be a poet, you've got to have a cool hat. You've got to be rude to people.
You're associated with a drink.
Oh, yes. I'd like, well, I don't know what drink I'm associated with.
Free ones.
Cooper's Pub, yeah. All my t-shirts at the moment I've stolen. Well, I haven't stolen, but like I'll be at a show and they'll have shirts on the merch table. And towards the end of the night I'll say, you got any double XLs there that I can get my...
Do you call yourself a poet?
Oh, yeah.
Now that this will be your second book of poems.
Third. I have Marlon Brando, 9/11, beautiful poems that everybody will love. I have My Monkey and I Have Something to Hide. What are that called? It was like bad poems. I don't remember what it was called. Horrible poems that everyone will hate. I forget what I called it. And this one's just called Splish Splash. Because I couldn't think of a third. First one's like everyone likes these. Second one, no one likes them. What's the third one?
Now talk me through writing a poem. Talk me through writing a poem.
I think of it
on the notes section.
Yes, I write them on the notes. Oh, this is good. This could be an interview about my new book of poems. I actually just write it out in the notes, and sometimes it's beautiful, and sometimes I don't publish it. Here's,
give me an example of one that you've scrapped.
Oh, I give you many that I've scrapped.
But I just want to know what doesn't make it into the book of Proms, because I've seen what does make it in.
Oh, yes. You'd like to know how bad it can be.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye, baby boomers. So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. And that's all I wrote. Here's another one. Billy Boy is dead. I am reborn the Hemnes man, which is about buying an expensive bookshelf at IKEA. This one has a swear word in it. I don't give a F about the poetry establishment. The poetry establishment needs to give an F about me. So that one's gone. I mean, they're just terrible. ¿Dónde está exterminador de insectos? I tried to write a Spanish poem.
That's you saying you're going to commit a genocide on the insects?
That says, where is the bug zapper? Anyway, I've traveled many Asian penises. That's a poem that I ended. Any Puerto Ricans here? No, if they were, we wouldn't have to ask. They'd let us know.
Ah, that's a switch on the old vegan bit.
Did you have that one as well?
What?
Did you have that bit about vegans? Any vegans here?
No, it's my least favorite hack joke.
The wind has gone out.
How do you know a vegan? They'll tell you.
Yeah, that's why it only went in the notes.
Do you know what I always laugh at with the vegan stuff?
Tell me.
To bash the vegans. People used to go, any vegans? Oh, can't put their hand up, no energy. And I look at these fat pigs like me who eat primarily burgers and pizza. And I don't ever eat my kind of meal and think, I've got the energy to run a marathon with my diet.
Oh, yes. All of the hot dogs made up of snouts and trotters are giving us the power we need to really dominate the vegans.
All of that processed meat suppressing my colon. I don't exactly eat one of those and think, gee, I'm full of vim and vigor.
I'm doing jokes about the American diet and what that's done to the bowel. But like everything else with my body in America, it's so much better. The secret to the American diet and taking good poos, you just have to drink more water and then everything actually works beautifully.
I do have to drink. My girlfriend's one of those people that has the Stanley Cup, you know, these where it's, she has like 2 gallons.
It used to be really hard to win you have to win hockey.
She takes a 2 gallon cup around and it has each hour how much she's meant to have drunk through the day.
Well, that seems like a life abnegating mistake, but I think more water is still good. I'm going to, as we go through this podcast, I'll keep reading you poems that didn't make the cut.
I was going to tell you all about how the Germans handled poo, but...
All right, we can talk about that too after I read you, the wind has gone out of the sail. The wind has gone out of the sail.
Finally, something about boats.
The shell has come off of the snail. The fingers are numb to the braille. And then I gave up. I didn't like
that. This poem tells a sad tale.
Oh, yes, that would be.
This one was an epic. Finish it.
I went into my hotel room and did not masturbate. That's a poem about not masturbating in a hotel room, which is not always easy. Skin a little marijuana woman. That one did make it into the book. That was a good one. Hold on, I'm going to find one good poem that I cut. Oh, man, these are all just... What is it you're celebrating? Why are you drinking and staying up late? You work a boring job and that's enough for you to celebrate? Anyway, that's not a good...
Let's do a little boring Abando Man experiment.
Oh, yes.
Make a poem now about me and this room that we're in.
His name is Gilly. He is silly. Gets on a bus and exposes his willy. Take him to the jail. Something, something snail. Something,
we're
something
back
braille.
To the snail.
Just back to my old poem. Back to my old poem. Abando Man was probably remains an Irish rap comedian. Who did all the festivals? And
what's in your pocket? Hold up, what's in your pocket?
And then he'd
and
rap
I will do
about
a rap
what's
about what's in your pocket. And of course, the things in your pocket will be things I've seen thousands of times in people's
no
pockets.
No one has a bar of gold. No one has a monkey's hand. It's always a tampon.
Oh, you naughty little thing! I'll give you a spanky as you hold up your dirty old hanky. Oh, I come from Ireland and I am a fighter. This man here is holding a lighter.
Is this the best show that you've ever seen and had? Look at that, a sanitary pad.
Everyone says, shut up, please. But look at that fella holding his keys.
I do this show and I get paid. And what's over here? It's a Band-Aid.
People like this because there are no blacks here and they've got nothing to compare it with.
Oh, we've just gone into what the act is. You've never seen a rapper before, so you don't know that he's not meant to be a 50-year-old Irish man. That's how I get it past you.
Oh, I am the best act. Because I'm not competing with almost anyone.
You do have to make it rhyme, Gilly.
What?
You have to make it rhyme.
I'm just being rude.
I don't think of other things people might have in
the
that.
The rhymes ended.
How come nothing in the bag makes rapping harder? Look over here. It's a phone charger.
What have you got? Only lint. That makes me as sick.
Think
as the
you're
people
skint.
Of Flint.
You're skint. You're skint. Obviously skint. Flint?
Michigan. I'm trying to make it Michigan.
Int.
What else is in a pocket? He's actually quite good what he does.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing we've discovered by doing it, it's that a band of man is a great talent.
Credit card. Rhyming is hard.
St. Bernard, how'd you get it in your bag? Smoking a fag, here with your dad.
But is this why...
What's that there, another minstrel pad? Excuse me, I'm happy with that.
You're enjoying that.
That one wasn't bad. One of the best raps that you ever had.
Didn't drink enough water, so I've got my cramp on. That lady's mad. She probably needs a tampon.
Yes, it would be rhymes for tampon. It would be 1,000 rhymes for tampon. That's what his show should have been called. 1,000 rhymes for tampon. Cramp on, stamp on, tramp on.
Champignon.
Oh, champignon is not bad. Here's another poem. What would your life have been like had you gone to New York City, drowning in sad arts degree, slam poetry, vagina? Would you still... I wrote this... I started writing this about my friend Sam McDonough, if he'd moved to New York. Because he would be so good in New York. Anyway, he'd be drowning in sad arts degree, slam poetry, vagina. Would you still be a lawyer, or would you have gotten AIDS? It's not easy getting AIDS as a heterosexual man, but I reckon you'd have managed it had you gone to New York City. You would have done too well there, like a light bulb at hubristic voltage. But New York is more than women turned on by the reading of heavy books. F, man, you at the Symphony, Carnegie Hall, and all that S, that Annie Hall Manhattan S, and human S out on the street. My friend, thank God you never went. Thank God God kept it from you. Thank God they never got their nasty bookish AIDS hands up upon you. It's just about how it goes on, but it's like I'm glad that he's in Adelaide because he's such a wonderful man.
And now you'll probably write a poem about why you're glad I wasn't in Munich in the 30s.
Oh, Amos, the time you would have had in Munich in the 30s. Walking over here with the tampon such a dirty. Sorry, we went the same time. What did you say? What was your one?
Mine was, look at you, standing proud and tall, about to have fun in a beer hall.
We joke about you being a fascist, but it's only because you are a fascist. Now, can you get your hand away from the genital? That was a problem with the last episode. I know there's no visual component, it's just for me, but I have to close my eyes. JDFM!
Why do you keep calling me a fascist?
Because you keep talking about wanting a paramilitary organization to seize power and restore order.
But not for the corporate state.
No. You're right. What's the word I'm looking for? Reactionary totalitarian? Are you happy with that? Is that robbed of any ideological overtone?
Thank you.
Welcome. I would never say you're not a Nazi. But I think certainly you've chosen that black T-shirt for a reason. It's because you see Mussolini riding around on the horse, draining the marshes, and you think, hold on, the first 10 years of Mussolini's Italy. What's wrong with that?
Well, I keep wandering around in this country, and I was sucked into this idea of freedom.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing all these people with their freedom, and what they do disgusts me with it.
Yeah, it's hard.
And I used to say, Australia's a nanny state. It was just something I repeated. And now I come here and I think, nanny needs to come and give you boys a smack.
Smack bottom and a cup of hot milk. Because it's also the tender affection that they need as well. The homelessness is, I don't know if we've spoken about this on the podcast.
I think I just want a Mary Poppins as some...
That's
as
who
a,
I want as
what
the
I
nanny
want,
state.
I want Mary Poppins
yeah.
as a dictator.
I mean... It's probably not outside of our powers to have a
spring,
woman.
And she's spring cleaning the streets.
At the start of every day, we all get together. We all gather in the town square. And we sit. We probably have to use a winch rather than actual magic. But Mary is lowered down to the square. And then we do whatever she tells us to do. It's magical.
Because she cares for us.
You know they're getting rid of Tinkerbell at Disneyland?
Because they think she's a big slut? No, because they think the kids can't...
She's too hot.
She's too hot and those wings are unachievable.
She's giving girls body dysmorphia because they're not 4 inches tall. That's an unrealistic beauty standard, is a woman who's the size of a thumb.
Don't worry, Tinkerbell will leave anyway because no one believes in her anymore.
Is that how it works?
I think, isn't that it? Doesn't I believe Tinkerbell only comes alive when people believe in her.
I think that's Digimon.
Hold on. Tinkerbell belief.
Let me just do a little.
Let me just say this.
Let me do a little talking to the audience. Hold on, you look that up privately, and then I've got to do. Just let me do one little moment of solitary time
one
with
moment,
my listeners.
Please.
All right, tell me.
Tinkerbell theory.
Okay.
Stipulates the more you believe in something, the more likely it is to vanish.
Well, that's the opposite of what you said.
Yeah. Keep going. I'll find something. I'll find this.
I was unable to do a solitary episode of the podcast. I think we're going to be okay. I've had a brief mental snap. And anyway, I think I'm doing better now. I just want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody. We did a Patreon episode before we did this one. This episode has been much looser than the first one. Can we get it on track? And can we really try once again now?
Let me just say this. Right. Tinkerbell, the fairy from J.M. Barrie's 1904 play Peter Pan,
give you an inch, take
is
a mile.
Revived from near death by the audience's belief in her.
This
is a key plot point in the play that reflects the idea that fairies and other magical creatures often draw their strength from the belief and imagination of humans.
Wait, but what if there's not enough people believing on the night at the play? Does she just die and the show's over?
Well, that was something that J.M. Barrie was often fretting about in the wings.
The beliefometer's not rising to the necessary levels. There's a nice one at the end of Amadeus, which was originally a stage play. Have you seen Amadeus?
No.
It's a movie about Mozart. Yes. And,
I've seen the movie. I've seen the play. Though,
right. So in the movie at the end, they're going through the... Yes, that's Mozart. But Salieri, F. Murray Abraham's one of my favorite actors of all time. He's going through the insane asylum. He's going, "You are mediocrity. I am the king of the mediocrities." But in the stage play, he walks out through the audience and points at them and goes, "You're mediocrity. And you..." It's my dream role. It's my number one.
You've been doing that a long time.
I didn't know you had to write a whole play to make it possible.
Also, Tucker Carlson should play Mozart.
Oh, my goodness. Strong, yes. Shane's been talking about the first guy who figures out how to do the Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson is...
I don't think I've ever said his last name out loud. We have such nasty laughs. JDFM!
So what
did Ask Girl for Breakfast.
What did you want to get organized?
All right. I mean, I'm serious when I say it's happenstance that you've gotten to be here in the same... We were in Denver together and now we're in Austin
together.
We got enough people writing to us after the first episode that I think we should consolidate and get...
Close friends.
We should get this done. And we're going to have to do it remotely, but we should do a commercial radio show. And so here's one of the thoughts I had is we could look up... things that they do on commercial radio shows.
My issue with doing a show with you...
I'm still in charge while it's my podcast.
Let me say this. Because I need to give an excuse as to why this is so bad.
The fascist, once again, reaches for power that's not his. Oh, yes. Physical intimidation where the democratic process fails. Go on. Come on. They can't see you glare.
You never give me a heads up what we're doing. I did a radio show where we would look at the news, we'd think of things we want to talk about and plan it out.
Yeah.
You turn up... We eat a bag of chicken.
Yes.
And chips.
We go for a swim.
I'm bloated. I'm laying on a bed. And then you pull out a laptop and microphones and go, "Let's do a podcast." And then you wonder why it's not ordered. There would be order if we do this correctly.
Well, I think we should have an independent producer. I thought your girlfriend should be the producer.
Oh, really? Yes, some sort of Treaty of Versailles?
What do you say? All right, well, we can do it together.
It's going to be impositions put on me by some foreign party that you've signed on to.
I see what we're doing now. We're taking it back to... All right, well, note number one, I'd say, let's hide all of your fascism while we're doing the podcast. That might not help us attract sponsors.
Well, don't get my German girlfriend to produce.
And there's a hard edit there.
Okay, you want to do a commercial radio show. Go on.
All right.
I keep interjecting.
No, but like, let's look up a commercial... Like, what's the big commercial radio show? Like,
Nick Cody's show. Kyle and Jackie O is the biggest.
That's the biggest one. All right, why not go straight to the biggest... Kyle, Jackie, and then we like see a segment. We don't actually have to listen to it, but let's just...
Yeah, but the segment is, "Was your daughter raped?"
Well, we could do that. Was she? Here we go. Birthday wheel. Tradie v. Lady snap predictions. It's impossible to tell what these mean by the titles. I thought it would be things like pantry or fridge.
Yeah, that's like you're doing a bad one.
Yeah, but we'll, I say we take the bad one and we do it well. We transform a bad idea into, we make a garden out of trash.
What about if we do go on like a, you know, jokingly fascist run?
No.
Dead or not.
Dead or not?
Live or free. You know, we like raise a topic and we decide whether or not it's acceptable in our society.
Oh, like a utopia podcast.
Yeah.
Just couldn't be further away from commercial radio. What you're asking there is that we recreate St. Thomas More's...
Well, people say, you know, stick it in the bin. There's that radio segment. This is just us saying...
Raise it up high!
In our regime, would it be tolerated or not?
Well, what are some examples?
You know, rolling up your jeans.
Oh, yes, we must have that in the... Actually, I'd like to think we have fine tailoring in the regime.
That's what
stick
I would
stick it in the bin.
Marijuana usage.
Or for cancer... Stick it in the bin.
Gateway.
Do you think it's too much to do? I mean, Americans don't know bin. They just have to stick it in the trash. But stick it in the bin sounds so great. Do you think they have a copyright on stick it in the bin? I'd love it if we could just say stick it in the bin.
We'll be able to do that. Okay, so
what are some other things? Hold on. Let's just for old time's sake.
I'll just run through what we could do. And secret sound.
Stick it in the bin. I'm sticking the secret sound in the bin. It's a terrible one.
We Alpha Bucks. That's the game.
Oh, yeah, you would always do. Do we want to tell the story about how you got the station into serious financial and legal trouble?
Well, mate, I got the station in serious financial problems by rating consistently low.
No, hold on.
But you mean that when I gave away over $100,000 to the wrong person?
Yes.
Yeah, we were playing a game at the time, which was a game of higher and lower. You had to guess the number. So let's say the number was $105,400. Someone would say $103,200. And I go higher than the other person would say $104,000.
The greatest intellects that could be summoned in the northern suburbs of Adelaide.
Anyway, needless to say, this had gone on for months.
Yep. And they
never
got
to the
number.
And it was more money than they'd ever given away to try and launch my radio show. And I think the number was like $104,677 or 67. And the woman goes, 104,600. And I just went, oh, congratulations. You've won the money. And at that point, they've won the money. There's no
Once you say
back.
You've
Once
won
I
the
said
money.
You've won the money,
yeah.
According to the lotteries, that was it. Now, no one in the room or even the person who worked on behalf of Lotteries South Australia, who was the person to make it official from the insurance company,
yeah.
picked it up.
No one picked up on it.
Because when she said the number, a beep, beep, beep
of
the
clock. Oh, you had a backing track. You had a backing track.
Kind of lined up over.
I remember this.
And so we were like.
Undone by overproduction.
Well, we're done. We've given it away. This woman sounds lovely. But then the switchboard of phone calls lit up like a Christmas tree. And thousands of people were like, she said the wrong number. And you gave her the prize. So she might have said 76 instead of 67. And the guy who was competing against her was I missed out on my opportunity because I would have got it right.
And sued.
And he sued.
Did you? Now, how much did you have to pay him?
I don't know what we paid. I was taken out of it at this point.
That's incredible.
But they had some settlement with him. It wasn't an enormous amount, but they paid him something. She kept the money. Everyone thought it was rigged. And I, as a moron, aged 21 at the time,
you were a young boy.
She was like a really, really poor woman from a rough suburb, and she used the money to get married. And she contacted us, bawling her eyes out how happy she was that she'd won the money, and her and her husband could get married, and their kids would see the parents
so
get married.
Beautiful.
And she invited me and said, "You should come to our wedding because you made it possible."
I didn't know this.
And I said, "Sure." And when I went to go to the wedding, my boss was like, "Don't you dare go, because it'll make it
like
seem
rigged.
Like you rigged it." For this poor lady. Oh. And so I had to decline going. And at the time, I lived in an apartment building where a lady who worked for Today Tonight, which is an Australian tabloid sensation show, doorstopped me when I went home and asked me, "Is it true that you gave away $104,000 to a friend of yours and you're attending their wedding?" While we were putting out the bins, which was, of course, where someone like her would lurk.
I don't remember this. I was living with you at the time. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. She now works for Sky.
Good for her.
And I'm catching up with her at a Trump rally that she's covering.
Oh, is this the same lady?
Yeah.
Look at that. From strength to strength. Chasing scandal.
Yeah, I used to go on Today Tonight a lot. I used to go on...
I was always jealous that you got on Today Tonight, which is what they'd show at 6:30 p.m. and it was...
Dodgy builders.
Dodgy tradies.
Mostly dodgy builders.
Sometimes dodgy radio show announcers who give out money to their friends.
That was one. It was often also The Neighbor from Hell.
Neighbor from Hell is a good one.
Which is just a person who's not clean.
I remember as a kid, there was one about a trolley boys who was trolley surfing. And they'd put the trolleys together and push them through the car park and then jump on top. And the trolley boys were like, yeah, it's fun. But will you stop doing it? No.
And then they'll just go up to an old woman.
Oh, I was very scared with the clattering sound.
It's they could hurt somebody. How are you going to get off and stop the trolleys in time? Shut up!
And they're drinking cans of Mother. Because they would always... Remember back in the day when energy drinks came out? They were terrified that it was essentially making children into like... Energizer bunnies of terror.
Well, it's good that there are no signs that that actually ended up happening. I think we need to burn them all. Now, listen, that's more your role on the podcast than mine to say that sort of thing.
Stick them in the bin.
Stick them in the bin. We should definitely stop the podcast because my kids are out there with my wife and we said we'd be half an hour and we've actually recorded two episodes. But that's
just like dead set, you want to do a... commercial radio.
I want to
show,
do a proper commercial radio podcast, and I genuinely want to sell it.
But can we actually do it properly? Because we should talk about topics. Because this is just nonsense.
All right. Can you bring the? If I do all the tech, will you bring the topics?
You're really hurting the audience there.
Why? Because you're bringing the content.
Yeah.
I do good tech. You got to bring something. You can't just bring your charming personality. We've both got a lift here.
But you're the interesting one. Why are you doing the tech?
Well, you don't know how to do the tech. You're retarded.
Well, I'm good at nothing then. Haven't I just written myself out of the show?
You're right.
I better learn how to get the Zoom recorder going.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.